can you play a verse and chorus of that for us, please?
How many times you say Jesus in this song?
Oh, Jesus, Jesus, dearest Lord, forgive me if I say, oh, very love of thy sacred name, a thousand times a day. Oh, Jesus, Lord, with me abide, I rest in thee.
Is there to this love I flight?
the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for gathering us this morning. Thank you for keeping us through the night, helping us. We thank you, Lord, for a new day. Lord, you've given us another day to find you in a greater way, to serve and love you, to worship you. And we pray that you'll help us in all of those areas. We pray for your anointing. We pray for your touch upon our lives today. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to bring you into every situation, every relationship. We pray that the fragrance of Jesus will fill our lives and overflow to the blessing of others as well. We pray that you'll bless all over the camp today. We thank you that daily we can pray for these campers. And Lord, we know that you're hearing and answering. And we pray, Lord, that as we pray for them, that you'll give us prayer in the Holy Ghost. We pray that you will show us the things that need to be brought before you, that we can stand together and trust you, Lord, to accomplish your full will in each and every one of them. Lord, today, the young person that hasn't maybe experienced your touch yet, let it be today, Lord. Let there be others that awaken to your presence, your love, your great love for them. We pray you'll bless the little ones today, too. Bless those that minister to them, Lord. Fill their hearts with love. We know you do that, and we can see that in them. Give them faith over each child, Lord, and wisdom. Lord, we don't know what every camper deals with when they're home. Some come from godly homes. Some come from homes where no one's saved. And come from very dysfunctional homes, no doubt. But, Lord, these little lambs are precious to you. And, Lord, you can do something in their hearts that will keep them. Keep them for yourself and even make them a blessing as they return to their homes. So bless today, Lord. Watch over the camp. Keep your hand of protection over us. Keep sickness away from us, Lord. Yes. Jesus, watch us at the beach, Lord, especially. Lord, we just pray that you'll keep your people safe and close to you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. 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 I like this song very much. Jesus, Jesus. I had a look at what the word transports mean. My transports to control. Phil Walfogle, who used to ride a minivan, was a transport, a Dodge transport. And I knew he loved Jesus, so I wasn't sure I wanted to drive with him because he didn't know how to control his transports. That's a very corny joke, and I'm getting the response it deserves, I know. Phil just smiles when I say that. But that means your emotions, right? Brother Gardner used to say the greatest commentary to the Bible is a dictionary. That the first thing you have to do is understand the words in English before you pick up the commentary to find out what all this is supposed to mean. I like that last verse. There's no limit to God's love. It's like launching a spaceship, right? To get to the outer edges of the universe. It just keeps going and going and going and going. There seems to be no end. And that's how it is when we try to explore the depths of God's love. There's just no end. It never stops, never runs out, always increases. Praise God. And so we love the Lord today. We know he loves us, but there's no limit to that love. We can love him more. We can love him better, and we can experience his love in a much greater way. Praise God. Amen. Let's also sing another song about Jesus. I heard a minister say, you know, devils don't tremble when you say God, but they tremble at the name of Jesus. And that's why the devil tries, he fights against that name of Jesus. He doesn't like when that name is mentioned. And you notice that in society. You can talk about God, you can talk about Allah, you can talk about Krishna, but mention Jesus, and that's a different story. People, it arouses a reaction in people. For those that love him, it's the fragrance of life. And for those that don't, it stirs up their wrath. Praise God. There's a song, I think it's in the hymn book, Oh, Jesus, oh, how sweet the name. Every day the same. Number 47, maybe? Number 47. 47. In the hardcover book. I'm sorry. This book.
Glory. hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh yes, Lord, hallelujah. Precious Jesus, we praise you, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see the Lord. I see the Lord. He is high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. He is high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple, and the angels cry, holy. The angels cry, holy. The angels cry, holy is the Lord. I see the Lord. I see the Lord. He is standing in our midst, and his glory shines upon us. He is standing in our midst, and his glory shines upon us. And the angels cry, holy. The angels cry, holy. The angels cry, holy is the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, he's standing in our midst this morning. Hallelujah. And his glory shines upon us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We receive your glory into our lives, Lord, upon our lives. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, we love you so. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Savior's love, who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea.
Wonderful that we have a relationship with God. We often make that distinction. It's not a religion. We're not religious people. We have a relationship. There's a person that we fell in love with and we want to live to please. We have the security of knowing that there's someone that loves us and is caring for us and watching over us. As I mentioned, that I work in a school during the year, and there are a lot of Muslim children. And boy, kids can curse. I'm flooded. I'm in a cesspool of foul language every day. So it's just the way they talk. And it was a little bit of a shocker to me. I mean, they're not saying any words that I haven't heard before, but the amount. Every day I have to listen to that, and every day you're telling them, watch your language, don't talk that way. Well, they don't understand that because that's the way their parents talk, and that's the way they've been brought up. Everybody talks that way as far as they're concerned. I found out to become a school aide at that school, you had to learn three phrases. Tie your shoes, stop running, and watch your language. If you could pass that test, you're a school aide. Because you say that 1,000 times a day. I noticed suddenly there was a lull in the language. It got better for a while. Then I found out it's Ramadan. You're not supposed to curse during Ramadan. But when Ramadan was over, we sure made up for lost time. And they're so careful. If I hand them candy, they tell me, is there any gelatin in there? Oh, gelatin, we have to read the ingredients. If there's gelatin, well, that comes from a pig. So they're not allowed to eat that. And they're very careful about that, the kids. They check the candy ingredients. They won't eat anything with gelatin in it. And they won't curse during Ramadan. And when we have our time of fast, when they have their times of fasting, the children are given a special room during lunchtime where they can go and fast. And I hear some of them sneak some food up into the fasting room. But you can tell they don't have any relationship with the God that they claim to worship. So it's rules, it's regulations, doing what is expected of them for the time. There's no change of heart. There's no desire to really please God. Of course, I can't judge that in everybody, but the general sense is that it's a religion. There's ceremonies and rituals that they're bound to. It's part of their culture. But with our God, it's so different, isn't it? We love Him. We want to please Him. It's our delight to serve Him. And so I'm so glad that I feel. Why am I in that school? Well, the only thing that comes to me is I'm there to show the love of Jesus to these kids. I don't hide the fact that I'm a Christian. It's especially easy when they know that I'm a pastor. And some kids are very interested in that. They start talking to me about their church. Kids that you never imagined even went to church. But sometimes you have these one-on-one conversations with them when they're away from their friends and they have no one to impress. And then they open up. There was one boy that had a scar on his nose, a little scar. So I mentioned that one day when I was alone with him. He told me, well, he was from Yemen during the time of the war, and that he saw many dead bodies in the streets and so on. And you just never imagined what he had faced in his life in such a short time. And there are others. Sometimes they open up to me. This brother's in prison, and this parent's on drugs, and my... A lot of hurting people, damaged lives, even so young. And if we can show the love of Christ to them, if we could plant a seed somehow, if they can remember a kindness and somehow associate that with you being a Christian, God can use those things. And of course, we pray for them. And I find, in as well as praying for the people in our church and praying for my family, I pray for the kids in school. And thank God there are other teachers there that love the kids, and there's some other Christians there that we're all very happy that we can be there to be a blessing. But it's a challenge at times. But it, you know, when you're out in the world, it makes you appreciate your Jesus so much more. And you see what you have that sometimes we take for granted. We get used to these things, but Jesus wants to awaken us to the wonder, remind us. I think it was the band that wrote Amazing Grace, John Newton. He came from out of a life of deep sin, slave trader, worked on the ship where they carried the slaves over to America and so on. Cruel, ungodly, and then in a storm, he's afraid for his life, and his Christian upbringing came back to him, and he cried out for God to have mercy upon him, and he really got wonderfully saved, and eventually God delivered him from some of the things that he was involved in. And he said the wonder to him is that people lose the wonder. He never lost the wonder of what Jesus did for him, of the salvation, of the mercy of God. I don't think the Apostle Paul ever lost the wonder. You see, sometimes he refers to his past life and how he was injurious and persecuted the Christians. And then he talks about how merciful God was to him. He never forgot that. We forget. We get used to, we grew up in a Christian home. We don't know the difference. But the wonder is that we lose the wonder. God would like to restore that in our lives. As we spend time in his presence, the wonder of Jesus begins to shine into our lives again. And we ought to pray, Lord, let me ever lose the wonder of knowing and loving and belonging to you. Praise God. We sing that Jesus is wonderful. And if you examine that word, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that wonderful means full of wonder, right? Wonderful. Is he wonderful to you? Maybe he's wonder half, not full. Well, Jesus wants to become wonderful. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus wonderful to us. That's why we need to get filled with the Spirit. That's one of the first things that God does when he baptizes us in the Holy Ghost. He makes Jesus wonderful to us. More real, more precious. And so, I pray for those kids that I have an interesting prayer that the Lord put in my heart. It takes a lot of faith, I guess. I pray, Lord, let every one of those kids have the opportunity to hear the gospel sometime in their life. Lord, let every one of these kids hear the gospel sometime in their life. Because the Apostle Paul said he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. And God can send a witness to them. I don't have the liberty necessarily to talk to them about Jesus unless they ask. I like that when I talk to my staff members, those that I work with, sometimes they'll ask me, what'd you preach on Sunday? Oh boy, they get an earful. I'm very happy to tell them what I preached about. I'm very happy to tell them things that are happening in the church and kind of slip in a witness. I even told them my horse joke the other day. That went over well. They liked that joke. I still remember that joke, someone told me. But I'm glad that I have opportunity among the adults to speak more freely about the things of God. But with the children, we have to pray, and we have to trust that God will send them a witness. But it's not just the words, it's the life behind it, isn't it? I remember when I was working in King Cullen, teenager. Is there still King Cullen's around? King Cullen Supermarket? A few of them. I lived out on Long Island. And I was witnessing to my assistant manager. And he said, I don't know what it is about you Christians, he said. I've been running across you everywhere I go, and you guys all seem so happy. Well, that was good. there was something attractive about the Christian life to him. We had something that he noticed that he didn't have. And so it's like show and tell. When I was in school, we used to have show and tell. Does anybody know what that is? You still do that? Right? Usually in kindergarten. I hope you don't do it in high school or college, right? But you had to bring something in to show the class. Then they would get interested. What's that? And then you would tell them, right? You would have to learn how to explain and describe what you brought. And Grace Waldfogel, she said that one time when she was teaching in school, a kid brought an urn. It says, "Grandfather." He brought his grandfather's ashes to school. Well, much to their horror. I guess he had a lot to tell about Grandpa. So, anyway, but that's how it is in the Christian life, too. We like to tell first and then show, or we forget the show part. But, you know, first you got to show. You got to show that it's that what Jesus means to you, and that he's so worthy of our love. And they need to see that you're real, that you're sincere. Sometimes people put you to the test. They'll give you a hard time because they want to see if you have something real or not, or if you're going to react like everybody else does, get mad, and so on. So we show first. Lord, let them see Jesus in me. And the clearest way they can see Jesus is by the love that we show people. They'll know you're my disciples by your love for one another, and as we express his love to the world. And so they see that there's something different about us. They see that we have something, that we're not like everybody else. And that gives them hope, because maybe they don't have to be like everybody else either. And then God will open the door for you to tell why you're different and what Jesus has done for you. And then, of course, you have to remind them that what he's done for me, he can do for you too. He loves you as much as he loves me. He's no respecter of persons. And God has a great love and plan for your life. You can know Jesus. Your life can be complete as well. We're not perfect. And we know that. People see our faults too. But if they see that we're sincere and humble, willing to admit when we're wrong and try to make things right, that goes a long way. People aren't looking for perfect people, but they're looking for people that are real. Revelation, Jesus said, "I want you to buy of me gold tried in the fire." Something real. Something that's been tested, proven to be precious. And you'll notice when now we're studying the life of Peter, but if you look into the book of Peter, and I would recommend that you do that, maybe while you're here at camp, or maybe when you get back home, read 1 and 2 Peter, and then think about some of the lessons we had, and some of the stories that we've considered, and maybe we'd understand why Peter wrote some of the things he did. But one word that is very prominent in the book of Peter is precious. Jesus is precious. He talks about our faith, which is much more precious than gold. That word precious means valuable. It doesn't lose its value. The blood of Jesus Christ is precious. The precious blood of Christ. He talks about that which is incorruptible, that which doesn't decay or lose its value. The Word of God is the incorruptible seed. It's precious. There's about five things in 1 Peter I know where he refers to these things as precious and incorruptible. And that's an interesting word, because I think of Peter as a rough, tough fisherman. You know, he wasn't the most eloquent speaker and the most refined person. But somehow that word precious is just sprinkled throughout his writings. Jesus is precious to me. Praise God. And I know he's precious to you. That's why you're here at camp, and that's why you're serving him. Every one of us could be somewhere else right now. There are beautiful beaches. I don't want to make you discontent now while you're here, but there are beautiful beaches you could be at. But I don't think there's a better place to be than Pilgrim Camp, when God wants you there. I don't think there's a place in the world that's more prayed for than Pilgrim Camp during the summer. Do you think so? We pray for camp in our church regularly. All the fellowship churches do. I'm sure you do. We think of camp, and whether we can go to camp or not, we pray for camp because we know that God is doing a great work here. Lives are being changed. So, now I can't control my transports. It's my problem. I'm trying to. Yeah. You know, I can't help but cry. I surprise myself because I don't expect to. But when you talk about Jesus, it's just so precious, right? We all express ourselves differently. And I don't like when I cry. I feel silly. So I'm going to compose myself now, and we're going to sing. So Precious is Jesus, My Savior, My King. Okay, it's in our hardcover book. He is so precious to me. Number 461. Thank you. 461.
Can I make a comment on the song we sang, The Name of Jesus,
please,
earlier?
Yes.
It made me think of this story that Hans Walpole told, and I had a chance to look up a transcript of Hans Walpole's message. It was a case where he was called to minister to a child who seemed to be possessed with a demon, and it was a very serious case. And he said, when I went close to the child, the devil screamed at me. I got the creeps, really. I backed out and I said, Jesus, this is a case for you. I knelt down with my face toward the wall. I said, Jesus, what are you going to do? He began to sing. She was screaming, the devil was screaming, and I was singing. I was singing, Jesus, oh, how sweet the name. Jesus, every day the same. I sang it twice, and the devil was gone. The devil was gone. I think a whole legion was gone because that atmosphere was clear. He didn't have to rattle his saber and shout, in the name of Jesus, I command you. He faced the wall and sang, Jesus, how sweet the name. What power.
Amen. Amen. Come, 461.
So precious is Jesus, my Savior, my King. His praise all the day long with rapture.
dead.
He is.
Oh, yes, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. You know, I thought I would just share some prayer that I like to pray. It's not too long. It's called a Litany of Humility. And the reason I like it so much is we have a culture that's so much into self-esteem. You know, if you look online and you look up children and self-esteem, you'll get millions of hits on self-esteem. And there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, we're to love our neighbor as ourselves, so there is an ordered way of loving ourselves, but there's also many disordered ways of loving ourselves. And but if you put in children and humility, it's crickets. There's nothing in there for children and humility. And so anyway, this prayer is so powerful. I love it because sometimes my flesh arises in different reasons. Because I lack humility. I got pride still. So here's this wonderful prayer. Maybe you've heard it before. It says, "Oh Jesus, meek and humble of heart, hear me. From the desire of being esteemed, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being loved, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being extolled, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being honored, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being praised, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being preferred to others, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being consulted, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being approved, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being humiliated, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being despised, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of suffering rebukes, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being calumniated, that means my reputation be taken away, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being forgotten, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being ridiculed, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being wronged, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being suspected, deliver me, Jesus. That others may be loved more than I, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be esteemed more than I, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be chosen and I set aside. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be praised and I unnoticed. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be preferred to me in everything. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may become holier than I, provided that I become as holy as I should. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Praise
Jesus draws near to us to show us that these things are precious to him. I've noticed that. There's some things we talk about. When you talk about them, the Lord's presence draws, especially near. My wife and I, sometimes we sing in the car about the coming of Jesus. Always draws near to us. It's his way of saying, yeah, these things are precious to me. I want them to be precious to you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, God.
Yes, Lord. Make the things that are precious to you to become precious to us, Lord.
Yes.
Even as we're sitting in your presence, give us those right desires. Pray for our sister Minerva. We've all aware that she's has a little battle going on in her body. We thank God for her service, not just when she comes to camp, but she's does so much before camp ever starts. And let's just surround her with our love and faith this morning and trust that God will clear this thing up in her completely, quickly. Hallelujah.
Praise.
Oh, Jesus, bless our sister today. God, come to her today, Lord. Put an end to this cold or whatever it is that's plaguing her, Jesus, so that she can
praise.
Serve you without this distraction. Lord, strengthen her body, we pray, Lord.
Praise.
Refresh her, replenish. And Lord, we pray that the resurrection life of Jesus will rise up within her and just clear out everything, Lord, that's infected. Lord, touch her today, Lord, we pray. We plead your precious blood over her. We agree together with her, Lord. We join our faith together with hers.
Yes.
And we pray that today that you'll bring about a change, that there'll be a definite improvement, Lord,
yes.
If not a full healing. Lord, we commit her to you. And each time we think of her, Lord, help us to register our faith that Jesus is making her perfectly well and strong.
Yes.
In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, Minerva, don't be afraid to cough once in a while if you need to, just because we prayed for you. That's like me when people prayed for me, and then I am embarrassed when I'm limping. People are watching to see when I'm getting healed. I'm going to keep limping until I get the real thing, okay? But if you ask me how I feel, I'm going to tell you I'm trusting Jesus. Thank you. Okay. We don't have to pretend, right? The real thing is the real thing, right? Amen.